Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Complete your staining project with Pittsburgh Paints and Stains now at Menards. Stain in one coat with Ultra Advanced Semi-Transparent Stain. It's a stain and sealant in one that can be applied to damp wood and on hot, sunny days, allowing you to clean and stain your deck in one day. Save big money on Pittsburgh Paints and Stains and head into Menards to get your staining project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Healthy But Human Podcast. My name is Callie. I'm your podcast host, and I am so excited you're here today listening to today's episode on all the things, how to get your life back together. This is a five-step reset guide episode. So I'm going to give you five steps that will help you. And it's a solo episode. We love a good solo episode. I said that last week, and then it was so funny because if you listened, John popped in for like 15 minutes. So technically it was not a solo episode, but today's is a solo episode. And I cannot wait to share with you what has been helping me get my life back together and really navigate all the things adulting. I feel like I'm in a season of learning how to be an adult. Listen, like I thought that I was going to be an adult by now. I'm 24, almost 25 in a few months. And at 21, I'd graduated college and I was like, we are an adult now. I'm going to figure this out in 1 year. And let me tell you, I feel like it has taken many years to just learn things. And I'm still learning things, and I know I'm always going to learn things. But if you've been adulting for a while and you feel like kind of on the same page of just, wow, I still feel like my life is not together in certain areas, this episode's for you. I'm going to give you some just realness, some real things that have been helping me in my life. But before we get into the episode topic today, let's do a self-check-in. Think of this like a time to just ground yourself, see how you're doing, see how you're feeling, and then we'll get into it. All right, take a deep breath in through your nose, big inhale, lots of love into your body. Exhale, sigh it out, let go of any tension, anything not serving you, release with your breath. Okay, ask yourself, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being amazing, 1 being not so hot, how am I feeling today? And get real with yourself. Ask yourself, what is making me feel like this? Now ask yourself, what is something in my life that needs to go, that is not making me the best version of myself? And now ask yourself, okay, how can I get that thing out of my life? Maybe journal about this. I know these are some juicy questions. But really take a moment to think about it. Now ask yourself, okay, what is making me a better, amazing version of myself in my life right now? Okay, less serious question. Ask yourself, have I hydrated my hot bod in the past 30 minutes? You know the drill by now if you listen to the show. Grab your water regardless. We're going to hydrate in 3, 2, 1. Cheers to a hydrated, hot, beautiful body. Okay, next question. Ask yourself, have I stood up in the past 60 minutes? If you haven't, stand up, shake out the legs, shake out the arms, get the blood flowing, and sit back down. That is a very serious question to me now, because if you listen to last week's episode, I went to the ER because I thought I had a blood clot in my leg. Praise the Lord, I did not. But that's a serious thing. Gotta stand up, you guys. Gotta get moving and grooving, feeling good. Okay, final question is, what is one area of my life that feels messy right now? Write it down, hang on to it, and we're gonna dive in to the topic. But first, life updates. If you can't tell, I'm in a really good mood today. I am back from Hawaii. I was in Hawaii for 2 weeks on a baby moon. I'm having a baby in September. If you're new, she's a girl, baby girl. Anyways, I have to tell you about the travel day experience. So last week I gave you a little update on the trip. I will give you more updates on the trip also. I feel like I'm all over the place at the moment. But the travel day home, this was probably one of the most like humbling moments of my life traveling. So, okay, in pregnancy for me, this is me personally. I'm not going to speak this over anyone, but I've definitely, morning sickness it's been consistent. Like if I don't eat a certain amount of food in the morning at a certain time period, I've found that I throw up. So anyways, my flight back from Hawaii, I live in Florida. My flight back from Hawaii took off at 8 p.m. in Hawaii time. And it was 5 hours and landed in LA, 4 hour layover in LA, took off in LA at LA time, I think it was like 9 a.m. Landed in Florida at like 5 p.m. with the time change. And then we drove 2 hours home from the airport in Miami to our home. So anyways, it was a lot of travel moments. But here's the kicker, okay? So last week I told you I went to the ER for the blood clot thing that I thought was a blood clot scare. And my doctor recommended that because I guess I have two risk factors for blood clots, being pregnant and then flying on a plane, those two things. She told me, she's like, you need to stand up every 30 minutes on the flight and walk around, move around. But the flight was an overnight flight and I was already kind of stressed out because I am pregnant, I need my sleep, and I ended up staying up the entire flight. I walked around every 30 minutes. I watched so many movies. It was actually really fun. But then I landed in LA and I felt so ill, you guys, like so nauseous. I thought I was going to throw up on the plane and I was like, oh my goodness, I just need to eat something or just like sleep. So I ended up, this is where it gets funny. John and I end up going to this terminal where there wasn't a lot of people. And we had our like workout mats. We were ready to full blown sleep on the ground. By the grace of God, this is God being amazing. We found a spot where there was like benches where you could like booths where you could eat food and they were kind of cushioned. So we ended up laying on, we each had our own booth and we'd lay, and I was laying on, we had like butt pad squishes that you can sit on so that like if you sit in like an office chair or something, it feels better on your back. Anyways, we had those from the plane. So we ended up using those as pillows. The airport was so cold that I covered myself with like my exercise mat as a blanket. And I was just laying there, like pressed against this wall booth thing. And I slept somehow for 2 hours. But here's the funny part of the story. So where we were laying, there was a janitor who was cleaning up that spot of the floor. Like she was sweeping things. And I literally was awakened to the sweeping happening like right under my table. And I was just like, oh, hi. Literally, I was just like asleep on this booth. And then I fell back asleep. And I woke again an hour later to hearing this person on like their walkie-talkie. And they were talking, I think they were talking about us. And they were like, these people, they're civilians. They are civilians. And I was like, do these people like, we actually kind of looked like we were just like at the airport sleeping. But yeah, anyways, it was a very humbling moment sleeping in the airport on a booth in a restaurant covered in a mat, freezing. But we survived. And then I got Jamba Juice and then we went on our next flight and I didn't sleep again. I stood up like every 30 minutes and watched more movies. And then we got to Miami and then we were so delirious at this point. And I started off the drive 30 minutes in. I was like, John, I literally cannot. I will fall asleep at the wheel. So then we switched off and then we eventually got home. And then we took all yesterday to just like reset and sleep. And then even today was another little reset day. But yeah, that was a travel day. It was truly very humbling, very challenging. It was 21 hours total of traveling, but honestly, so worth it. Hawaii was just like such an amazing experience. I feel like we learned so much about ourselves. And I think I talked a little bit about that last week, but it was just really cool because, I mean, the Lord definitely called us to go to Hawaii. We weren't totally sure why. And it ended up just so many things. He revealed so many things to me while I was there, specifically around just like work in general and just releasing this pressure I've been carrying on myself for so long around work and provision and all these things. So that was really beautiful. And then also, this is just a little side note for Big Island. We stayed in Kona and then in Hilo. And I will say I definitely liked Kona better in terms of the area. It felt safer to me. And it was just like a lot sunnier, less rainy. But yeah. So if you're going to Big Island, if you like a lot of sunshine, I would stay more on the Kona side of the island. But yeah, it was incredible. We went to the volcano twice. Saw so many cool animals. It was just such a fun, special time. So I'm back. I don't think I'm traveling until after I have the baby, God willing. But we're back. So that's the life update. I hope you enjoyed that story. I feel like, you know, in the moment, it's so hard. Sometimes I'm like, it's so funny in the moment. But then when you say it, you're like, that's, nah, I don't know. Anyways, I thought it was a funny story. But let's get into our topic today. Also, I'm going to answer a question, a DM I received at the end of the episode. So last week I started doing this. I want to start answering you guys' questions on the podcast. I get a lot of DMs and I honestly really feel like I know if one person has a question about it, like so many more people are going to have a question about it. So I want to start talking about it. So if you have questions you want me to talk about on the podcast or anything at all, just ask me. You can message me on Instagram at Healthy But Human Pod, or my personal is at Callie Gwally. Message me on both or one, and yeah, and I'll hopefully get to your DM. But we're going to do that at the end of the episode. Let's get into our little reset guide I have for you, 5 steps. These are things that helped me a lot yesterday in my just reset moment. When I got home, I was like, I want to just reset. I feel like this is a great time. We've been gone for 2 weeks. Our house is a disaster at the moment with all those suitcases everywhere. Let's just have a reset day. So this is the first thing I have on the guide is meal prep in a healthy, realistic way. We got home, our fridge was seriously so empty. I think everything was expired. And we had to just kind of start from square one. John really got into researching meal prep and healthy cooking on the flight, one of the flights back from Hawaii, which honestly was such a blessing because I think I shared this a little bit, but something I've been struggling with a lot in this pregnancy is just food aversion and eating healthy, balanced meals for my body because meat was a problem. It would definitely had a lot of aversion to it. I feel like I wasn't getting enough protein. My doctor told me you need more protein. Anyways, I talked about that a lot on the podcast, so we're not going to dwell on that, but I am learning how to eat for my specific body's needs. And John got this book and we read it together yesterday. It's called Cook Once, Eat All Week by Cassie Joy Garcia. Honestly, I want this girl on the podcast. It literally is such a game changer book. We read like the beginning. Sorry, I need a nap. We read the beginning of the book because it has like a ton of tips on how to meal prep. And honestly, like this is something that I've struggled with for years now is actually meal prepping and not going to the grocery store and buying all these ingredients for one meal and then not using them the rest of the week because they're only for one meal and then everything goes bad. There's so much food waste. It feels expensive. That has been my consistent struggle with cooking. But this book is really cool because she basically like breaks down how to meal prep in a very sustainable way that reduces food waste. And also she has a bunch of recipes. So we tried the first recipe last night. It was mind-boggling, amazing, like so balanced, so nourishing. Also, I found some of these books too are just unrealistic. It's a lot of like the meal prep, you know, like the square containers. You got like your little tiny amount of quinoa on one side, your two potatoes on the other, broccoli in one, chicken in the other. Like, it just, they're not realistic and they're not sustainable and they're not filling enough. So this book, the meal we made last night was just incredible. I actually have not felt that good after eating a meal in so long. It was so, so good. So I definitely recommend checking out that book. They have it on Amazon and it is helping us a lot. We also went to the grocery store yesterday and basically we like made a whole checklist on our phone notes with the different ingredients, how much of each that we needed for this like week of meal prepping that she had listed. And I love doing this at the grocery store, doing a little check box, like you can check it off in the phone notes. So it's really easy to go through the store. We divided it into sections. So we did the meat, the dairy, the produce, all the different sections, pantry items. And it was really helpful because I think a little grocery shopping hack that I'm learning, don't go to the grocery store when you're hungry. Make sure you have a snack before the grocery store. Two, have a list at all times. I think there's nothing worse than going to the grocery store hungry with no plan. That is how I have impulse purchased a ton of things I don't need that aren't good for me. And then I'm just like, the rest of the week I just have a bunch of snack food and there's not anything like no whole foods because I was just so hungry in the moment. So that is a hack and that helped us a lot yesterday with just staying on top of, okay, we only need these things. We're not going to buy a bajillion excess items. And we honestly didn't spend that much at the grocery store for how much food that we bought because I feel like we got a lot of just like produce and not a lot of the fluff foods. Because honestly, a lot of the snacks that you can find in the inner aisles of the grocery store are definitely, they add up. They're like $4+, and before you know it, it's a very expensive cart. Where if you shop around the outside of the grocery store, in general, it's healthier foods and also, or more nourishing foods, I'd say. And then also I find that it tends to be more affordable as well. So that is a little hack for you. Definitely, definitely, definitely check out that book if you're struggling with meal prep. That is just a game changer. And then the next step I have is to clear the clutter out of your house, apartment, dorm, wherever you are right now. And this is a little thing that was helpful with me yesterday is just taking it like room by room. So for example, something that I had been resisting for a while was organizing my makeup drawer. I honestly just was living out of a travel makeup bag for so long. I think honestly since moving into our new house, which that was in November, it's June. And I just was resisting putting the makeup away. I kept saying to myself, I'm going to travel soon. I might as well just leave it in my travel bag. But it felt so good last night to just get rid of the clutter on my just sink space. Actually go through my makeup, see what I used, what I don't use, what's old, what's gross, what needs to go. And organize and put that travel bag under the sink and be like, okay, we're settled in. I think even just going through like doing your laundry, that is such a great way to reset. I feel like just getting your space clean, cleared out, it just frees the mind of clutter too. I also cleared off my desk. I had so much unopened mail I was resisting opening, bills I need to pay, all the things. And I just went through that last night. It helped me feel so much better. And then just even the kitchen, like we just cleaned the kitchen well. We just were washing and putting dishes away. I put dishes away this morning. And I'm telling you, taking it room by room, it makes the world's difference of just feeling less like cluttery, you know? Also, I tossed some old shampoo that we hadn't touched in forever. Just going through the little things that have just been sitting there that need to be cleaned out. That is one of my favorite ways now to reset after a travel week or just in general. Okay. And this is a hack I actually really want to share really fast with you guys. This is a hack that's been helping us a ton with keeping our kitchen clean. So we were having the dishes in our sink just stack up every day and it was so overwhelming. We'd be doing the dishes at night, super late, just so many dishes. And something that's been really helpful is basically what we do now is we have a rule where after a meal, you have to put your dishes in the dishwasher. You cannot let them sit in the sink. You can't let them soak because soaking, it's like a myth. Anyways, and then every night we run the dishwasher. And then in the morning, one of us will take the dishes out of the dishwasher, unload it. So then we're set up for success for the next day. And then it's the same cycle over again. Honestly, it has been a game changer. I thought it was excessive running the dishwasher every single night. And I know it's more water you're using, which obviously isn't as good for the environment and stuff, but it has helped so much with just reducing unnecessary clutter and letting dishes pile up. And it's such a game changer. So definitely recommend, if you don't have a dishwasher, I challenge you to do your dishes after every meal. Just do them. Commit to it. It's not fun, I know, but I'm telling you, once you get in the habit, it's so worth it for keeping your kitchen clean. I've said it before and I'll say it again, taking baby steps is my number one hack to building healthy and sustainable habits, especially when it comes to gut health, which is why I love Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic that benefits your gut, skin, and heart health in just 2 little capsules and no refrigeration is needed. I first started taking Seed back in 2019 when I was having all sorts of uncomfy stomach issues and was getting no answers from my doctor. During this time, I started doing my own research and learned how important a healthy gut microbiome is for the rest of the body to thrive and feel amazing. So I started consistently taking a daily probiotic for the first time ever and experienced significant ease in bloating. My digestion became healthy and regular, and I noticed an increase in my energy levels and mood. Like I mentioned before, Seed is so easy to fit into your daily routine, especially if you are on the go a lot. The free travel vial from the Welcome Kit allows you to take DS01 on the go, which we love, especially with our summer trips. Another reason I love Seed is I can actually trust them, which can be so rare in the supplement world these days. Their scientific testing is extremely rigorous, with 24 clinically and scientifically studied strains in their patented capsule design that helps the fragile bacteria survive the journey to your door. Trust your gut with Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/Cali and use code 25Cali to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/Cali. Code 25Cali. You know what I really don't miss? The week leading up to my period. On top of the bloating, hormonal acne, intense cravings, and exhaustion, literally everything made me want to cry. We talk about everything on this podcast, and you already know that hormonal health is something I'm extremely passionate about because as women, we were never taught in school that painful periods aren't normal. I'm super pumped to introduce you to Hormone Harmony, a complete natural hormone support for women that adapts to the body's unique needs and can help maintain optimal hormone levels, relieve occasional bloating and mild mood swings, while also improving sleep quality and supporting weight management. Trusted by over 1.2 million customers, Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Let's dive into some of the ingredients that make up Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens, like ashwagandha extract. Adaptogens help the body adapt to any stressor like hormonal changes and cortisol levels. One of the ingredients that really sticks out to me is maca root extract, which I've used for a while now because it has been shown to provide sustained energy, relieve mild mood swings, and support a healthy desire and drive. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code CALI at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code CALI for 15% off today. Let me know what you think of Hormone Harmony. I'm so excited for you to try.
Take control of your growing company's finances with Bill Spend and Expense, the free-to-use spend management software powered by the Bill Divvy Corporate Card. With credit lines from $50,000 to $5 million, Bill Spend and Expense is here to help you thrive. Say goodbye to manual expense reports and juggling multiple cards, and say hello to saving time and eliminating wasteful spend. Try Bill Spend and Expense today at bill.com/promo500 and get $500. Terms and conditions apply. Advertised credit ranges are not guaranteed and are determined at approval. Card issued by Cross River Bank. Member FDIC.
Okay, the next step I have for the reset guide is to make a list of projects you've been resisting and give each thing a deadline. So we have a little calendar thing that you can write on in erasable marker on our fridge. I love it because basically, we have this whole list of just things, projects that we've just been needing to get done. And they're just big, they're just like chunky projects. So one of the things, I mean, they're not that excessive, but they're things that you just don't think about doing on your day-to-day basis. So one of them was replacing the fridge filter. Another one that I want to get done today, honestly, is changing out our dining room light. It's just sitting on the floor in our house right now. It's been collecting dust for a while. And changing out the AC filters, you know, little things like that. And maybe if you're not a homeowner and you're like, I don't really have those like home projects to do, okay, think about other things in your life that maybe are needing, their projects that you've just been putting off. Maybe it's going through your closet. Maybe it's listing clothes on Poshmark. Maybe it's listing things on Facebook Marketplace. Whatever it is, write those things down, just dump them down. And then if you thrive with having deadlines for things, write down dates next to those things and seriously hold yourself accountable to doing them. Maybe what you can do is if you check one off, you give yourself a prize. So maybe if it's like, okay, I need to go through my closet, my prize is I can go get myself a little fancy, little bougie raspberry matcha latte. I got one of those today. It was so good. Anyways, that's just a little tip for you. I think I am a very rewards-based person, so I love getting rewards for doing things. And that has helped me a lot with just like the things I resist, just getting them done. Okay. And also a lot of times we make things bigger in our mind than they really are. But that's something that's been helping me as well with resetting. Just get those projects done, honestly. Okay, number four is, such an important one. Journal with Jesus. Invite him into the areas of your life that feel messy. I mean, this is just such a good one. If you're like, how do I journal with Jesus? Get a journal, get a pen, get a piece of paper, do what you gotta do. Start off by just inviting the Holy Spirit in and then ask God, what do you want to tell me about blank area of my life? So maybe if it's your relationship's been feeling messy, you could ask God, what do you want to tell me about my relationship? And then as you're just sitting there, try and quiet the mind. You can meditate on scripture. This has been helping me a lot lately, is just having a scripture going through your mind, and then you'll have just like a little spontaneous thought pop up. Write it down, jot it down. Even if it doesn't make sense, jot it down. And then fact check it. See if it lines up with scripture. Is it something that God would tell you? I have an entire episode on hearing God's voice. I definitely recommend listening to it. We dive more into how to hear God's voice, how to know if it's God's voice. Definitely check the episode out. It's so good. But journaling with him is just so key. I actually spent time with the Lord before this podcast today. It helped me so much, you guys. I was just asking him. I was like, what do you want me to know about my podcast? And he just gave me some insight. He gave me ideas for future challenges for Pilates, my Pilates studio. He gave me this idea for the episode today. And honestly, like, it just, we're not meant to do life alone. We're not meant to go through our struggles by ourselves. And he wants to be in every area of your life, no matter if it's disastrously messy feeling. He's got you, girl. Okay, or guy, if you're listening. Okay, the final step that I have for us is to build a consistent morning and night routine. Wow, there is so much just reset feeling put together when you have a good old routine. This is what I recommend doing, is start with one and then add the other. So figure out in the morning, typically on average, like how much time do you have in the morning before you start work or school or whenever you'd like to just have the morning routine. And then what I challenge you to do, start off with the essentials, right? Take care of your basic needs, the bathroom, toothbrush, hair, wash your face, do what you got to do, okay? Start there, then put on the outfit. And then I encourage you, this is what's been helping me, is go outside, go on a walk, go on a short walk, or if you like to go on a run. Just get the movement in right out of the gates. It's so energizing. And then what I try and do is I'll try and just immediately jump into my workout. I actually skipped a step. Eat something before you move your body. Get the blood sugar feeling level stable. Can be something small, can be like a green juice, or it could be your full-blown breakfast. I honestly have been thriving with having like a tiny just something when I wake up. I'll do my workout and my walk, and then I'll have my breakfast afterwards. But I find that having something small at the beginning helps me a ton with just that stabilizing of cravings and having just an initial, like, we're good. Body has something in it. And then I like to pair the walk and the workout together. I find that when I'm just, it's like habit stacking. I like to have the two things that involve movement back to back because I'm already in that just movement kind of zone. So it helps me not resist my workout and skip it as likely as I would if it was later in the day. But once again, this is your morning routine. If this isn't your thing, then make it work for you. So after that, I like to then spend time with the Lord, and maybe even if you're, that's not your jam, can journal, could just have a moment to just breathe. But definitely encourage you to spend time with God. Just see how it goes. Doesn't have to be anything crazy. You can just be like, hey God, thank you for this beautiful flower in front of me. Start small. Get devotional if you need to. That's how I got back into my faith. It was just starting with Live on Purpose by Sadie Robertson, like 5 seconds a day. It was so helpful. So anyways, I'll do that. And then I will usually eat breakfast while I'm doing that. And then from there, start the day. So I would just say, like, once again, it's your morning routine. Think about the things that make you feel really energized in the morning. Feel awakened, feeling awake, and then just things that fill your cup in the morning. I think starting the day off by just filling your cup is really important. Once you fill your cup up, you have more to give to other people, and it just helps a ton with preventing burnout, honestly. On the days I skip my morning routine and I just dive right into giving to others, like, sometimes it just feels exhausting. And I know that's going to shift a lot when I have a kid, so I am very curious how the morning routine will look with a baby, but I am going to do my best to continue, even if it's like one thing in the morning, to just do something to fill the cup up, because I've heard with a newborn it's a lot of giving because they rely on you. So I'll keep you posted on how that goes. But anyways, I think same goes for night routine. Focus should be what can help me wind down and feel relaxed and just decompress from the day. Program those things into your night routine. For me, I've been really enjoying taking a hot shower at night. It's just been so relaxing. Also, I've been loving just having a heating pad and just laying on it on my back, because the back has been a little achy from everything shifting around in my body with the baby. But that's been really helpful. Even just reading a book at night. I think in general, a good rule of thumb is to just stay off your phone at night. Once your night routine starts, the phone is off. You don't touch it. So set your alarm, if you have an alarm on the phone, before you start the night routine, and then put your phone on do not disturb, and then start your undisturbed, unbothered routine, and really just wind down. But I think just having baseline skeletons of your routines, obviously life happens, things change, stick with the essentials, and just do your best to keep a consistent routine happening. I encourage you to not skip two days in a row of your routine. That's how it's really easy to fall off track. But since having a morning routine in my life, I feel so much better throughout the day. Like tenfold better, tenfold more put together. It's just so helpful. So on that note, I think, was that five? Yeah, that was five. So those are just some things that have been helping me a lot in my life, feeling more reset, more put together. And I think in general, one more just bonus tip is if you've been feeling stressed out in an area of your life, maybe you feel like you just are out of control, sometimes what's been helping me a lot is just researching and learning and getting more knowledge in that area. I talked about this a little bit last week on things I've been learning lately, but I think for me specifically, some of the adulting things I've been really just... Okay, the two adulting areas that I really was feeling the weakest in was food and finances. I just didn't feel like I knew enough about either of those things to really fully take care of them in a responsible way. And since doing more research and just learning, asking questions to my parents, asking John questions about finance, because he's a little finance boy, a little finance guru. And I mean, this is another marriage hack. We hadn't done this, and this is such a game changer if you're married. Sit down with your spouse and just look at your money together. Like, you're a team. And that has been so helpful. We budgeted. We actually did a little budget for ourselves for Hawaii. We've never done that before. Honestly, it was so healthy. It made us a lot more aware of what we were spending. And it just, we felt more responsible, more financially responsible. So making a little budget with your spouse, like that's a honestly really, I think really fun, healthy activity to do together. Doesn't sound sexy. Doesn't sound like a fun little date night. But honestly, it has just been so awesome for both of us and for our marriage. Because I'm no longer like, what's happening with our money? It's like, okay, we have, this is how much we're pulling aside a month for a mortgage. And this is how much we're going to spend on blank. And we're going to just translate that into our daily lives. Because doing it for the trip was so, so good. But anyways, also for food, the meal prep thing. I was feeling super unknowledgeable about my eating habits. I was trying lots of different things. And honestly, I just didn't feel like I was fully grasping how to just responsibly go to the grocery store, get food for the week, meal prep it, and eat like a normal person. Not normal, but eat in a healthier way, in a more balanced, financially healthy, physically healthy, mentally healthy, all the things kind of way. And so I'll keep you posted on how that goes because more honestly than like day one in. But I feel so much better and I feel like I have a lot more of knowledge in that area now. So I definitely encourage you to learn the areas you feel weak in. Okay? So final question I'm going to talk about for DMs that you guys submitted. I'm not going to read this whole thing for sake of confidentiality, but essentially the question is talking about sex before marriage and living with, so this person lived with their fiance. They've been together for 5+ years. They're getting married next year. And I'm reading this right now. Anyways, she is feeling convicted about sex before marriage, and once they press pause, but the guy is, her partner is struggling with it and doesn't quite understand the point of waiting. And so her question is, how do I navigate that situation? So first of all, I have an episode, it is with John, and it's actually all about waiting till marriage and sex and all of the just nitty gritty things that the people in church do not like to talk about. People in general have a hard time talking about. We just dive into it because we didn't wait till marriage. We had sex before we were even dating. And basically, long story short, we both felt convicted about it. And I felt convicted multiple times. And then finally, I kind of had my answer of like, okay, why am I actually waiting? And then we waited for several months and ended up eloping and getting married. We had, I mean, it was not really an elopement. We had our close family there, but then we had the big wedding later down the line. Anyways, that's a bit of our story with it. I think first of all, what I would advise, because so it's really important. So like, okay, so the fiance doesn't understand why to wait, right? I think the first thing to just stress here is a lot of it comes down to heart posture or lies that are being believed about something. So for example, I was believing lies that sex before marriage was totally fine. And I thought that the church was just all the purity culture, all the shame around it. Like that was just them being controlling, whatever. So I had all of these just lies I was listening to and believing. And I think the first thing to do is to just, first of all, just ask the Holy Spirit and pray that the Holy Spirit would work in that person's heart and reveal the truth to them. Because in such personal, intimate things like sex, someone can tell us something, but unless it's coming from the Lord, it can be hard for that person to receive it if they're not ready and if their heart isn't open to receiving it. So I think that's the first piece of advice I would give is we can't change someone's mind, but the Lord can show them the truth and give them that conviction that they need to have, or that we in this situation that you're wanting them to have. So I think the next step is to, I mean, it's, you guys are obviously like really close. You're going to get married. This is something that our marriage counselor actually said to us that helped us a ton, was why are you guys waiting? So if you're already living together, you've been together for 5+ years, you know you're getting married. The question is, why are we waiting? Why are we waiting for a year for our wedding? Eloping and having a small ceremony was genuinely like one of the best things that we did for our relationship, because we realized like we want to be together. Like, this is my person. This is who I'm supposed to be with. There's really no reason to wait in this situation. And I think a lot of times with the wedding industry, it feels like we have to have this grand, big wedding day. And it's expensive. It takes time to plan it. And you can't just snap your fingers and it's done for you overnight. So that's where we were like, okay, the actual wedding celebration, it is obviously very important, very fun. But what is more important to us is making that commitment to each other in marriage. It's not as much about the celebration, the people, all of it. It's about, okay, our relationship. So I think asking yourself, why are we waiting? Are you scared of that official commitment? Are you believing that you have to have this super impressive wedding for it to count, to feel amazing? Seriously, doing a little elopement and then doing the big wedding was so amazing. The day was special for both of our weddings and I loved it. I loved it so much. So I think that's another tip I have, especially if your fiance is like, we've been waiting for a month. This is really hard. It's hard. It's hard. Like, genuinely, it's hard to abstain when you love someone so deeply and you already have had sex with them. Like, it's freaking hard. And especially when you live together, it's just constant, constant reminder of like, ugh, it's so hard. Because that's what happened with me and John. So I think that's my next piece of advice, is really just getting real with each other about it. Seeing if you guys would be open to that idea. And then I think the third thing is to really just walk through with your fiance and understand his thought process better. If his love language is like physical touch, for example, and he feels like sex is the way he feels love, that was how I was. I actually had some lies around sex and that belief system that weren't true. So I was believing a lie that I had to have sex in order to be loved, in order to keep the person around, in order to have them, in order to like deeply have that connection, right? Like, because sex is very connected, it's literally super intimate. But if he believes he has to have sex in order to feel loved and be loved, then there might be something that goes way back to maybe even his childhood, of that fear of abandonment or fear of not being loved or fear of not being close. So as a partner, it can be really, really healthy to just have a really loving conversation and work with your partner to get to the bottom of why do they believe this. And I think especially since it's such like a sensitive personal thing, not going at it of a place of like, I need to change how he thinks, but going out of a place of, okay, I love him so much. And clearly this is a belief system that is it's hurtful for our relationship and also for him. So let's talk about it. Let's figure out like, why does he believe this? And let's help you understand where he's coming from in a much better place. And it might honestly open his eyes to things that he's believing that aren't true. Because this is something too that helped me a lot, is when we were abstaining, I realized like, this is, religion aside, when you give birth, you can't have sex right away. You have to wait like 6 weeks for your body to heal. And so if you don't know how to not have sex with your partner and you think that you have to have sex with your partner in order for your relationship to be strong, what's going to happen when you have a newborn? You can't have sex. You're exhausted, you're sleep deprived, you have this new thing that you're taking care of. It's so good to know that your relationship can be strong and build those healthy habits now and learn like how to not have sex and still have a healthy relationship. That is so good for honestly anyone. And if his love language is physical touch, there's so many more ways that you can show him love through physical touch that aren't just sexual things. Like maybe if he likes to just like snuggle, or he likes when you hold his hand, or he likes when you just like put your hand on his leg, or just gently like touch him like with love, or kiss him. It doesn't have to always be this thing that leads to sex. So I think, because I'm also, my love language is physical touch. And I think just the act of sex itself, it's just like that feeling of being so close to someone. You can still have that just closeness, but you don't have to make it a sexual thing, like a sexual act. You can just throughout the day, like, just like touch him in little ways or like meaningful, like, hey, all those things. So I hope that helps a little bit. I definitely think this is something, I know you're not alone in it. I mean, I went through the exact same thing. I definitely was feeling how your fiance was feeling, and I definitely can understand, but I promise that if it's meant to be, the Lord's gonna work in his heart. He's gonna show him the truth, and he's going to soften his heart and just be patient with him. It's not easy. It's also not easy when maybe he hasn't had the, like, felt the Lord tell him a conviction about it. When, like, hearing your partner be like, man, the Lord's been convicting me about this, but you don't feel the same way, definitely give him grace and be patient and just pray for him in that way the Lord will show him. Because John's had convictions about things, and I'm like, I don't feel the same way. But then literally, I will feel that, like, several weeks down the line, God will show me something about it. And I'm like, ah, yeah, okay, I do agree with that. I do feel that conviction. So, yeah. Okay, I hope that helps, and I love you so much. You guys are amazing. If you like the podcast, tag me listening in your Instagram stories. I'll repost you. Tag me at quality. Tag me at Callie Gwally and at Healthy But Human, tongue twister, and at Healthy But Human Pod. Also, if you love the show, leave a rating. It helps so much. And yeah. Anyways, have the best day. You're amazing. And I will see you next week. All right, stay healthy but human. Bye.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.